It is our custom here at Westview every week to come around the table. And that's a custom that Bob and David and others put in place all those years ago, to do it every week to be reminded of Jesus. And it's a great joy for us to share the meal together with all of you this morning. And there are many reasons why we do this each week, not just because of what Jesus has done, but to remind us of who he is and to remind us of who we are in him as we meet together and share this meal each week. I think we see time after time in the Gospels, whenever the people who question Jesus' authority to do things, his miracles, his teaching, his lifestyle, Jesus always brings the conversation back, not to focus on those things, but on a more important question. Who was Jesus? Who am I? People had to answer that question in their minds. When the frustration or anger of those confronting Jesus reached the point where they asked him to reveal who he was, most find it too difficult to accept his answer, and often wanted to kill him on the spot for his apparent lack of respect for what they considered to be the truth. And while Jesus slips through the crowd or simply vanishes from their sight because it is not the place of these people to take his life at this time, Jesus tries to help them understand who he is through analogies and through images of their traditions and their customs that they're used to every day in their life. And we see these in the scriptures, but unfortunately rarely do they respond in a positive manner to his attempts to show them his true character and nature. In John 10, Jesus once again uses a common image that all of his audience would have clearly understood to try and get the religious leaders of the day to hold on to who he was, using the imagery of sheep and sheep pens and gates and these sorts of things, which just mean absolutely nothing to people living in Western Sydney in the 21st century. But to his audience of that day, it would have been very, very clear what he was saying. We know this story is called the story of the Good Shepherd. This is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks, the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd, and immediately his audience would be transported to the Psalms, I'm sure, where God is often portrayed as the Shepherd of Israel, their protector, leader, their carer. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep because they are his. He knows his sheep because he is with them every day, leads them to good pasture, plenty of water, protects them, he keeps them well. That's the role of a shepherd in those Middle Eastern times. The image would not be difficult for his audience to understand, and neither would the introduction of the wolf. They would have clearly understood what Jesus was mentioning here. Ultimately, the shepherd will come between the wolf and the flock just as ultimately Jesus will finally deal with the most fierce predators his own flock have to face. As John Piper refers to these wolves as a pack, there are three of them, he says. There is the wolf of sin, the wolf of death, and the wolf of judgment. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep to defeat them all. In John 1:29, in something of an irony, I think, John the Baptist describes Jesus as a lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And in Hebrews 10, the writer says this, "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." The good shepherd will lay down his life to take away the wolf of sin and the wolf of death and the wolf of judgment. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the Lamb of God who draws those wolves to himself. He draws them away from his flock. He sacrifices himself for the sake of his sheep. And the sheep know him, and he knows the sheep, every one. He knows the weak. He knows the strong. He knows the stubborn. He knows the submissive, the hurt, the poor in spirit. He knows the needs of all of his sheep. This knowledge is modeled on the union between himself and his Father, the eternal relationship between the three members of the Godhead, who know each other so intimately, they act in complete unity in all things, in everything. And while there are many sheep, but not there is only one flock, and there is only one shepherd, which would have caused a great offence to that original audience who thought of themselves as the only flock. They thought of themselves as the only people that had access to God. But here is Jesus calling in everyone to be a part of his flock, and he is the shepherd. We and millions of others who have come to faith through the message passed on from generation to generation, we are the sheep from these other sheep that Jesus talked about. This is us. This is our legacy. The outsiders who have heard the voice and followed the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. His death is not a last-minute act of desperation. It's not an unforeseen, spur-of-the-moment, last-resort strategy. He's not being forced into an unexpected death. His ministry from the beginning has moved towards this final act of obedience as an offering for the sake of his sheep. The Good Shepherd has the authority to lay down his life and the authority, the right, to take it up again. We often pray that God, Jesus, is in control. This is one of those verses, I think, that clearly demonstrate this principle. No one takes his life from him. No one takes his life. He lays down his life. And Jesus is in complete control of his destiny, laying down and taking up his life, the cross and the resurrection, exactly what has been agreed upon in the triune Godhead, the councils of eternity, for the salvation of humankind. As Jesus speaks, so his words divide opinion amongst the leaders of the Jewish religious teachers. Not for the first time, he is accused of being possessed by a demon, not worth listening to. He's raving mad. Others cannot agree, but they're confused. How can someone do what Jesus does? Heal the sick, restore sight, make the lame to walk. These are not the actions of a man possessed, yet his claims about who he is are outrageous and beyond belief. Who is this man? In the next few verses of John chapter 10, Jesus will be walking in the temple, and these religious leaders of Israel will confront him and ask him directly if he is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they have been waiting for. And when Jesus gives them his answer, they just won't be able to accept it. And again, they will try and kill him. They'll try and stone him. But they will not succeed because it is not their right to take his life. It is not the time for Jesus to lay down his life either. That time will come, as we know. But today we have the chance to ask that same question that confronted those who heard Jesus speak in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Is he the Christ? Is he the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? And if he is, what does that mean for us today, for you today? For many of us here this morning, it is the reason for this celebration service, to enjoy his goodness, to celebrate his goodness as the Good Shepherd in bringing us people like Bob and David and Robin and so many others over the years that we've enjoyed at this church. It means thanking him for people like Tony and Wendy and JJ and Suna who have responded to his call on their life and committed themselves to serving his church. It is also a great joy for us to be recognising his gift to us in Tony and Lynn here this morning. It's one of the reasons why we're here. It means recognising those he has raised up and equipped for these roles within our church, his flock, that set good examples for others to see and to follow in ministry in our community. But most of all, it means remembering what it cost him to follow, to allow him for us to take this place. The humiliation and suffering of the cross beyond the physical pain, the separation of that eternal community in his death for the sake of his sheep, dealing with our sin, making the way open for us to return to the Father. Who is this Jesus to you? Is he someone that you know as an historical figure, an important person, someone who you know is someone that we respect? That's not enough. He needs to be someone that is Lord of your life. He needs to be someone who you know as Saviour of your life. He needs to be your good shepherd. You need to be a member of his flock. And you need to do something about that if that is not your situation today. And please, do something about that today. Take the time to find a trusted friend, someone who you can talk to about these things. Because right now we're going to share this symbolic meal together. It's one of the few things we do as followers of the Good Shepherd each week as an act of unity as his sheep. And everyone who hears his voice and follows him is welcome to join us in this meal today. Please don't feel any embarrassment as the small plate of bread and the small cups come by and it's not for you to take. That's fine. Just let it pass you by. But if you are one of those people who have heard the voice of Jesus and you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, please join us today as we share this meal now. Let me pray before we share the meal. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for his willingness to come in obedience to your word, to go to the cross, to bear the sin of the world, to allow this fallen race, this poor group of people, to come back to its creator and to worship and to honour you as Lord of their life. We thank you for this opportunity that our good shepherd has given us. We pray, Father God, that as we think about this, as we take the meal today, and the significance of this day is so important, but I pray, Father God, that the significance of our decision to follow our good shepherd is just renewed in our minds as we sit and contemplate these things, as a small piece of bread comes our way, as a small cup of juice is held in our hands. Help us, Father God, to focus on the one who has made this all possible, on your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.